Take your Bibles, go to the book of Philippians this evening. The book of Philippians, Philippians chapter number 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter number 3. This evening we'll begin reading in verse number 13. We'll read all the way through the end of the chapter, verse number 21. Responsively, I begin reading in verse 13, then you'll join me on verse 14, and we'll alternate like that all the way through verse number 21. Philippians chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 13, the Bible says this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forward unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as ye have us for an ensample. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that there are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you again this evening. We don't take it lightly, the privilege and the opportunity to have a place like this that we can come. Lord, as I was traveling this week and was in another church, it was just encouraging to see folks being saved, encouraging to see a work being done. But there's still no place like this place, and I believe that this is the place to be, and I'm thankful for the opportunity and the privilege, not just to get to work here, to attend here, but to get to call this my home, to have these folks as my family, Lord, and we just to enjoy the time around your word. Holy Spirit, we'll ask this evening that we'd yield to you and that you'd fill our pastor with your Holy Spirit's power, that it would be evident, Lord, through the message of this evening, through the truth of God's word, that there's something you have for us, even in our lives now. We'll ask that you would be with us this evening and guide our minds as we listen to the word of God being preached. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. I want to have you keep your Bibles open. We're going to use them a little bit tonight, but I want to talk to you tonight about priorities biblically. We live in a fast-paced world. People have more going, more activities, the ability to communicate and I'll use the word transport or travel farther, and that complicates and speeds life up. You know, there was a day, those of you that live in this area, you old timers, remember when people would talk about going all the way to Baltimore? Not many of you travel there every day to go to work. Used to be that was a big trip. Now, with the interstates and cars and more cars and faster cars, and you don't have your mule and wagon anymore, going to Baltimore is nothing. And then airplanes. Used to be people got dressed up to go on an airplane trip. And I mean, you didn't get on an airplane unless you were dressed up. Now, you're lucky if people are wearing clothes when they get on the airplane. And it's nothing for somebody to fly to a city, have a meeting, turn around, fly back same day. We have just increased the pace of life, and it complicates things. We have fast food, fast cars, fast communication. It allows us to do more. I'm going to make a statement here. It's probably going to prick some of you, but we don't do as high quality of anything that we used to do. In the old days, you didn't have as many things to do. So you could concentrate your effort and make sure what you did was done and done correctly. Now, we have so many things to do, so many places to go, so many people to talk to, that nothing is done with the same quality that it used to be. It seems like so much in life is a priority, and we really don't know what is priority and what is not priority. Now, you mow the grass while you sit on a lawnmower going 300 miles an hour, full tilt, talking with a phone in your ear, and reading text while you're talking on the phone in your ear. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Before, you went out and you mowed the grass, and you didn't hear the phone ring in the house. And you didn't worry about the phone ringing in the house because you were mowing the grass. I even remember long-distance phone calls. I remember when you didn't have auto redial, you had to remember somebody's phone number or you had to look it up in the phone book. Boys and girls, you don't have no idea what that is. You don't know what you're missing in life. I do understand living a busy life. I am by far not the busiest person, but I keep a pretty rugged schedule. I can't do everything that needs done in any one day. A long time ago, I had a very wise man look at me and he said, "Son, if you're working for God the way you're supposed to, you'll never get it all done in any day." He said, "If you get done with a day and you've got it all done, you're not very busy." That was a long time ago, over 3 decades ago. And guess what? I've lived 3 decades of life, and Brother Mike, I still don't have it all done. I can't do everything that needs done in a day. It's not possible. I then have to choose what is most important and make it a priority in my life. I try to never allow priorities to get cheated. I try to make sure priorities get done and get done on time. I may need to adjust when I do some things because of certain things, but let me tell you something, I never cheat a priority in my life. I'll never cheat the time I spend in that book right there for you. I'll never cheat the time that I spend walking with God for you. I promise you. Now, I might have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning to do it some days, but I'll do it. I may not do it at the same time every day because of some other things that have become a priority, but I'm not going to cheat you. I'll promise you, there are better preachers in this world, but you'll not find many preachers that'll come to you every service and give you what I'm giving you right now. I'm not going to cheat you. I may have to adjust when I do some things, but the priorities in my life are not going to get cheated. I said something this morning, Thursday afternoon, late in the afternoon. I took Brother Aaron out. We were going to go try to get him a deer. We had walked out to the farm. He got up in the stand. That takes a while. And he got up. I crawled up, and I got to the last rung in my stand. My pocket starts going. And I said, "Oh, somebody's calling me." I got a gun on the shoulder, trying to hand it up to him, not shoot both of us. I'm trying to get through and finally get up. My phone quit going. I pulled it out and I realized who it was. And then the text came through. It said, "The nurse said it won't be long." And I picked up my phone and I called and talked to Loretta, actually BJ. And he said, "Preacher," he said, "Mom wanted me to call. The nurse said it's not going to be long. She'd like to know if you'd come." I said, "I'll be there." It's going to take. I can't leave just this second. I didn't tell him where I was. I said, "But I'll be there. It won't take me very long." I looked at Brother Aaron and said, "Brother Aaron, Brother Jimbo's dying. I need to go." I took about 2 minutes. I texted my wife. I collected my thoughts. And I said, "Let's go." I climbed back down. Finally got Brother Aaron back down. And we walked out. I dropped him off. Went home. I changed clothes very quickly and grabbed my wife and we left. And I finally got home about 10 o'clock that night. Now, wait a minute. Hunting wasn't a priority. Brother Jimbo and Loretta were. I love hunting. I don't love watching people die. I'll be quite honest with you. That's not something, Brother Mike, I enjoy. Last thing I said to my wife before we pulled up the lane was, every time I do this, I feel like I fail as a pastor. Because there ain't nothing I can do to help the situation. I can just be there. I can't fix it. I can't make it any better. I can be with them, but I can't fix it. And it's a disheartening feeling. Now, I may not do everything you want me to do when I do it, but I'll make sure the most important things get done first. I know what it's like to be a husband, a dad, a pastor, a boss, a businessman, a counselor, a son, a friend, a neighbor, an American, and becoming a grandpa. You think about all the different roles that a person must be, and especially someone that's in a position like mine. I'll promise you there's not a week goes by that I don't counsel 6, 8, 10 different preachers. This means I must choose what I do and when I do it, and I also have to choose what doesn't get done. Brother Josh will tell you this, Mrs. Barnes will tell you this. We meet every morning that they're in town and I'm in town. We have a little meeting in the morning, get the day and the week going, keep the work going here. And often I'll say something to one of them, look, what's on your list today? We talk about it, and I'll say, okay, that's not priority. That can be done in a couple days. That can be done next week. This has become priority. Let's do this. And we prioritize things each day. There are some things I'll say, Mrs. Barnes, there's no way you'll get it all done, but if we get these four things done, I'll be satisfied. Don't stress yourself, but let's get these four things done. Everything else can wait. What am I saying? There's no way to get all 20 done, but if we do the first four, that's priority. The rest of it, we'll pick it up later. God tells us in Philippians chapter 3, verse number 13, I want you to notice one statement. It says this, but this one thing I do. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. God gives us the key to prioritizing life. Do things one at a time. Oh, I know we have so much to do, but let me ask you a question. How well is it all getting done? Let's look at your workshop and see how it's organized, or your garage, or that room that everything gets piled into. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Or that one drawer in the house, you know, the junk drawer. Some of you have all of your drawers that way. Well, I get it all done, preacher. I don't think you ever get it all done. We can get more done and done well if we set priorities and do them one at a time. The word priority, do you know what it means? The word priority means this, first thing. It means the most important thing. It means the top of the list. I'm going to make a statement. You can't have 100 priorities in life. You can only have one priority at a time. You can't have 100 priorities. You can have one priority at a time. This is going to make some of you really uncomfortable tonight. Everything is not most important or the top of the list. I'm going to read what I wrote so that you don't think I'm talking to you directly. I know we're busy and we have many different things to do, but there's only one priority at a time. The key to keeping things in proper order is to set an allotted time and only do one priority at a time. That's what Philippians 3:13 means when it says, this one thing I do. For instance, when I'm with my wife and we're on a date, we don't talk about church work. I'm not pastor then, I'm husband. Hunter came over today and we had lunch and he decided to stay the day at our house and we played for a while and then I slept for a while or rested for a while. He didn't, but I did. He didn't get up when I got up this morning. Now, wait a minute. But it was time to be with him. It was time to do certain things. I wasn't preacher then. I was just home. Can I tell you something? You'll get more done and done right if you do it when you're supposed to do it. I kept a busy schedule in college. I took anywhere from 18 to 21 hours of college credit every semester for 4 years. I graduated with 130 some credits. I was just about 2 credits shy of having 1 semester of my master's done when I graduated with my bachelor's. That's on top of being a Bible club leader, and for 2 years I was a Bible club leader of 2 clubs. I helped oversee over 100 college students with the entire Bible club ministry. I ran a bus route, was a bus captain, and I taught D-teen Sunday school and worked D-teen church on top of going to A Sunday school and A church. I worked 40 hours a week. I traveled an hour to and from work, so I would put 60 hours in just in work on top of all my college classes, and I maintained a 3.17 GPA in college. Now, wait a minute. How'd you do it? I'm going to tell you something. I never pulled an all-nighter studying. I don't think I studied more than an hour for any class. Can I tell you what I did? I had 10 minutes between classes. I dated my notes. And I would go to the next class, sit down, open up my notes, and go back and review my notes for the time that I was in there for 5, 6, 7 minutes and get up to speed where we left off so that when the teacher walked in and started teaching, I was exactly where he was mentally when we started. And I reviewed every class hour the same way. So that by the time a quiz came or a test came, I didn't have to study. I'd been studying a little bit at a time. I just did a little review. If I had a big final coming, I wrote it out on 3x5 cards, and as I stood at my machine working, in between parts, I could flip through some notes and review a little bit, but I really didn't have time to study while I worked. We need to live without conflicting priorities. How do we get the most done, and how can we do it with the best quality? Let me help you. I got, I think, 3 things, maybe 4 things to give you tonight. 3 things. Number one, first of all, you need to understand the value of time. Time to wake up. Number one, understand the value of time. Time is a measure of life. Okay? You have to understand something. When somebody says, I'll give you 30 minutes, they're giving you 30 minutes of their life. Not just their time, they're giving you 30 minutes of their life. Once time is spent, it can be never gotten back. Never. 1 year ago, my mom's body stood right there, or laid right there. She didn't stand. If she did, I was leaving. My mama's body lay in rest in a casket right there. I couldn't get any more time with her. But guess what? I was thankful for each moment I had spent with her prior to that. All the time I had given her, I can't get back. And all the time she gave me, she could not get back. But there was also no more time to give. So time is how we measure life. I'm gonna teach you something about this. Hang on. You can't live on borrowed time. You can only live on now. Too many people try to live their life like they live their finances, and you're in debt and in credit card debt up over your head. You can't live life that way. We call it flying by the seat of your britches. You know, if you fly by the seat of your pants long enough, something's going to hang out. You're going to wear your britches out. You can only live now. We can plan for the future. We shouldn't live in the past, so we have to live right now. This is why being on time and being punctual at everything is very important. When, let's say there's 100 people here. If you show up 2 minutes late, you weren't 2 minutes late, you were 200 minutes late. Because you wasted 2 minutes of life for 100 people. Say, preacher, you really look at it that way? Yes, I do. And I'm not mad at anybody, but we live in a society where time doesn't mean much. We can be late to everything. Good night. The biggest thing I hear employers say, I wish I could get employees to show up. Or show up on time and stay when they're supposed to be here. To be late is wasting life. You're wasting your life, and you're wasting whoever's waiting on you's life as well. Well, it was only a few minutes. Yeah, but nobody else can get those minutes back. How would you like me to start church at 6:05, 6:10 every week? When I tell you we're starting at 6. I'll promise you, if we started church 5 or 10 minutes late on a regular basis, you'd watch our attendance start dropping quickly. Everybody doing okay? You expect me to be on time. You expect the banker to be on time when it's your turn to go talk to him. You expect the doctor to be on time. I don't know why. And I've had a few run-ins with those people. I've been scheduling appointments for 32 years of my life, and I don't think I've been late more than twice in 32 years. I don't understand why a doctor has to be late every time. That drives me angry. James 4:14 said, "What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away." It's kind of like putting a pot of water on the stove and you start watching that water, that steam come up and it's gone. That's how quickly life goes. Good night. I'm 54 years old and I still feel like I'm 25 or 30 in some ways mentally. Man, I look back and think, where'd all the years go? I remember when I was that age. Now I got one that age. How'd that happen? That's scary. I used to hear my dad and mom say, "Man, I can't believe I got this old this fast." And yeah, right. The older I get, the more I understand that. Life is quick. Why do we want to waste any of it? So we have to learn the value of time. Can I tell you something? Instill in yourself. I'm not talking about somebody else in your family. Instill in yourself the value of time. There are times my wife and I don't have much time together. So we make the most of what we have. My life is lived pretty scheduled. Now, I have breaks and I get to be a husband and I get to be at home and I get to mow my grass and I get to do some hunting and butchering and I get to do some playing with the family and all those kinds of things. And those are things that become important to me. But may I say something? I also understand the value of time. I don't take somebody's time for granted. I don't want to waste somebody's time. So learn the value of time. Time is life. And it is the measure of life. And when somebody gives you time, it is the most valuable commodity anybody could give you. I promise you. So, well, no, my paycheck is. Your paycheck is a representation of time. I'd rather have somebody give me their time than their money. be honest with you. Number two, are you ready? Priority means the first, the top of the list, the most important thing. Philippians 3:13 says this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." In other words, this is the top of the list. This is the first thing that has to be done. This is the most important thing that needs done. Now, listen to this very carefully. You cannot have 100 priorities. You can only have one priority at a time. There's too many people that live like their hair's on fire. You live like everything in life is a priority. No, only one thing at a time can be a priority. Boys and girls, your priority is your schoolwork. Your priority is your work at home and obeying mom and dad. Those are your priorities. As you get older, you get things added to that, and you learn how to juggle those things a little bit. You don't have to live like everything in life is an emergency. There's too many people that live like they're 911, running from emergency to emergency to emergency to emergency. Can I tell you something? I don't live that way. As busy as I am, my wife will tell you, there's times we hurry up a little bit because there's truly an emergency. I hurried a little bit to get to Jimbo's house as he was passing. But I wasn't frantic and screaming and hollering, "Bless God, how come you don't have the dog? Why do you don't have it?" That's the way many people live. I was fine. I didn't live in a rush. Mrs. Barnes, Brother Josh will tell you, I don't live in an emergency. I got to tell this story. Mrs. Barnes is laughing. I know what she's thinking right now because I can see it. I remember the day my wife called me. She said, I won't tell you which son, but it wasn't this one. Jeff was graduated from high school. He's getting ready to go to college. He's 18 years old. He was mowing, and the grass had been let go. It was real wet for a couple weeks. The cotton picker, he'd mowed the whole front yard, got to the backyard, and decided he was tired of turning the mower off and on, off and on, off and on, unclogging it. So he held it on, lifted up the thing, and stuck his hand in there, and he clipped his finger. She said, "Jeff stuck his finger in the mower. I got to get him to the hospital." I said, "How's he doing?" "He's in pain, but he's okay." "Is he conscious?" "Yes." "Is his finger still attached?" "Yeah, he just caught the end of it." "Okay." Well, I know my wife in blood. She's okay as long as not one of her kids is blood, but if she sees her kid's blood, she doesn't do as well. And I said, "I'll be home." "Well, no, I can take him." I said, "No, I'll take him. You can come with me, but I'm going to be home." While I'm talking to her, I'm grabbing my briefcase, shoving things in. And I walked out the office. I looked at Mrs. Barnes. I said, "I need to go. I need to take my son to the hospital. He stuck his finger in the mower." I said, "If you need me, I got my cell phone. Call me if you need anything, and I'll be in contact with you shortly." I don't think I said it any more panicked than that. She said, "Is he okay?" I said, "I think so." And off I went. I drove home. I grabbed him, put him in the car, took him to the hospital, and he's mad. "Dad, tell him the dog bit it." "Son, you got to tell him the truth." "I don't want to." I said, "I don't care." He said, "That's not a dog bite when the tip of your finger looks like a cup hanging down, you know. You can see the little bone in there, the little nerve sticking out." And then they looked at him and said, "What'd you do?" "Stuck my finger in the mower." "Oh, that's the third one this week." He felt a little better. Then they take the Novocaine and they stuck it back here in his finger and deadened the whole finger. And I said, "Ooh, you better be glad they're going to do that." Because after they cleaned it all out and picking all the dirt and the grass out of there, you know, they're tick, 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 like this. I'm thinking, you better be glad that thing's numb. Then they held it like this and they took that needle and came right up through the middle of his fingernail. Ooh. Now, I can handle most things, but when they did that, I kind of went, I looked at him, I said, you better be glad you got Novocaine right now, because boy, that looks like it hurts. He said, yeah, that looks like it hurts. I said, yeah, wait till the Novocaine wears off. He said, you're not helping, Dad. Wait a minute. I don't panic. You say, why? This one thing I do. I don't live life like it's an emergency. I don't go from phone call to phone call to phone call to this to that to this to that, and everything's an emergency in life, and paying bills is an emergency, and I got to go do this with my family, and I got to go do this at work, and I got to do this, and I got to, and everything becomes a priority to where everything's an emergency and you're not getting anything done, and everybody around you is ready to kill you. You say, why? Because you live life like it's an emergency. I can only do one thing at a time, and I'll do the top of the list, and I'll do the best I can with that one thing. If it's time to mow the grass, I'm going to go mow the grass. I don't worry about anything else but mowing the grass. Sometimes I'm thinking about sermon thoughts, but I'm not thinking about what I got to do next. I got to do this. I got to do that. Wish I didn't have to mow the stupid grass, right? I'm going to just kill it all and put sand in or whatever. You know, only one thing can be done at a time. Daily, you need to put a list together in order from top to bottom. Put it in priority and do this thing first, this thing next, this thing next, this thing next. Now, my list never gets done. But I start tomorrow's list with what I didn't get done today. And add tomorrow's work to it, and some of the things don't get done for a few days. You say, why? Because it's not high enough on the priority list. Now, hang in there. Don't get mad at me. Reading mail and reading text isn't the highest thing on my list. There's days the mail doesn't get read. Tell you why, because there's other priorities. Mail can wait. Bills, 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 goes to Mrs. Barnes, the rest of it, put it over here, I'll deal with it later. Take the priorities out, everything else, it'll sit there. I don't have to answer every letter the day it comes in. Everybody doing okay? Some of you have to answer every text as it comes in, no matter what's going on, and you wonder why you can't get everything done in a day. Things I want to do are very low on my priority list. But they'll stay on my list. Hunting is low on my priority list. But there are times it's a priority. When I'm hunting. But if there's an emergency, hunting comes off, the emergency comes on. Everybody doing okay? I said, preacher, you've earned the right to hunt a little bit. I don't think I've earned the right to do anything, but can I tell you something? I just know what's a priority, what's not. Now, hang on here. It's going to get gruesome. I don't fret if things low on the priority list don't get done. I got the most important things done. Social media is not a priority. Video games and TV is not a priority. Hunting and fishing is not a priority. By the way, these are never to be a priority. Those are extras. Now, when you're doing them, hey, when I play, it's hard. I play hard. I play for keeps, amen. When I hunt for keeps. Keep it in my freezer, amen. Wait a minute. When I get to do those things, that's what I'm doing. But if I have to choose between hunting and helping the people I love most and doing the work of God and studying for sermons and praying, I'll quit hunting and do the work of God. if it comes down to watching football games or baseball games or basketball games and doing the work of God, forget the stupid games, I'll do the work of God. If it comes between hunting and spending the time my wife needs, forget hunting and spend time with the wife. I ain't sleeping with no deer. Now, there's times she calls herself a hunting widow. I get it, and we joke about it. But we also have a full freezer, and she enjoys that. And it's not all year long, and I don't put 10,000 hours into it. I enjoy helping others with it. I do. Now, wait a minute. Hang on here. But sitting down watching TV is not a high priority to me. I left the house at about 5:15 on Wednesday morning and finally got home Wednesday night about 8:30, 9 o'clock. Thursday, I left about 5 o'clock in the morning, got home after just before 10 o'clock Thursday night. And I wasn't home more than an hour total any of those days. Ran home for lunch on Wednesday and Thursday. That was it. And I don't take a full hour at lunch. I live 7-8 minutes away. Go home, grab a bite, turn around, come back, do what I got to do. Now, wait a minute. So we have to understand that the word priority means top of the list. If you'll take what you need to be doing tomorrow, and write everything out, put it in order of what order it needs to be done, and just start checking it off as you go. You'll find out you're not going to get it all done. But guess what? Then you take the leftovers at the bottom, and on Tuesday you sit down, make the list out, put the things from Monday that didn't get over on Tuesday, and then figure out where it falls in on that list on that day. Well, I want to get, the key word there is want. Just because you want something doesn't make it a priority. The word is need, not want. And sometimes it's not your need, it's somebody else's need. Real love puts what it wants aside to give what somebody else needs, what they need, and you forget what you want. Ouch. What does God say our priorities are to be? I have six things I want to give you here real quick. I promise you I'll not belabor them. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Let me show you what God says priorities are. Now, we said the definition of priority is first, the top of the list, or the most important, right? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, just want to make sure you're listening to me. I know you're turning your Bible. This one thing I do, preacher. About time you listen to me. But Matthew chapter 6, look at verse number 33. But seek ye what? Okay, everybody look at me. In other words, that's a what? Priority. God says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. What is he talking about, these things? If you go back earlier in the chapter, it's talking about your food, your clothing, what you make, your salary and everything else. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek the kingdom of God first. Don't get mad at me. Too many people seek the kingdom of man and their paycheck first, not God. We're seeking our educational degrees and not God. We're seeking that which benefits us most and not God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Everybody doing okay? Can I tell you how to get out of financial trouble? Seek first the kingdom of God instead of your own kingdom. You're in trouble financially because you sought your own kingdom, not God's. Plain and simple. I didn't say it. God did. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. If we'd live by his principles and the way he would want us to live, we wouldn't be in some of the shape we're in sometimes. More important than the kingdom of man or kingdom of self, and more than the kingdom of money, is the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Maybe we ought to start our day with God instead of work. If we'll start our day with God, remember the Dr. Russell Anderson gave away about $40 or $50 million to the work of Christ. What'd he tell everybody? I spent the first couple hours of my day with God. Read my Bible, pray. At one point in time was making $10 million a year and giving $9 million away and living on $1 million a year. Gave 90% of it away. He said, God could live on 10%, why can't I? I'll give God 90 and see what God can do so I can give more away. What a wonderful way to live. I'm not telling you to live that way. He could. But he sought God every day. He'd get up 4:35 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning, spend the first two and a half, 3 hours a day reading the Bible and praying. No wonder God blessed him. Ran 7 different businesses. Was in construction business. Unbelievably successful businessman, but let me tell you something, he was an unbelievably successful Christian too. He sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things were added unto him. Next, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Everybody doing okay? I love you. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse number 1. Everybody pay attention. I exhort therefore that what? First of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Let me tell you something. God didn't say it's wrong for you to pray for yourself. But I think the first priority is praying for others. God says, first of all, supplications, prayer, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth, where there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now, prayer, intercession, giving of thanks to God, that is to be done first. Maybe instead of, as I talked about this morning, listening to the news, maybe we ought to pray, ask God to help others, and give thanks to God for what we do have. Amen. Instead of whining and complaining about how bad it is out there. Ouch. Everybody doing okay? Turn to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23. Realize this is when the Jews are in the wilderness. They have left Egypt, and God's getting them established for the promised land. I want you to notice Exodus chapter 13, verse 19. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. Huh. That's in reference to your tithe. Turn to Malachi chapter 3. That's right before. Go to the book of Matthew and turn back one page. It's the best way to tell you. Malachi chapter 3. Now, God uses the term first fruits, but you also see in, and I'm not going to take time to turn to all the passages, but Malachi chapter 3, look at verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have you robbed thee? And in tithes and offerings. Now look at me. The word tithes is the word first ten or first tenth. A tithe meant this. Let's say a man had a cattle farm and it was time to give his tithe. God said you're to give the first of your first fruits. In other words, You're to march those by, take the first one, run it in a pen here, let the next nine go, take number 11, put him in here. It didn't have to be the best, it was the first of the 10. Now, an offering was the best of what you had. An offering or a sacrifice had to be without blemish. A tithe didn't have to be without blemish. It was the first 10. In other words, God says we're to tithe, it's to be the first 10%. That's before the government takes their grubby paws on it. People ask me often on different questions about tithing, and I tell people this: when in doubt, do. If you have to ask a question about it, I do it. I think God has a way of blessing us if we give too much. Amen. I just happen to believe that. And I've been counseling that for decades. I'd rather tithe too much and get to heaven and say, God said you gave too much, than saying, I could have blessed you more if you'd have done it. Everybody doing okay? So the word tithe is the first tenth. My wife writes our checks. First check she writes is the tithe check. First thing she takes out is our tithe. And by the way, through the years, we have done more than our 10%, I promise you. Because we enjoy seeing what God can do. So, seek first the kingdom of God. Prayer, intercession, giving of thanks, our first fruits or our tithe. Next, God says a priority, Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. I promise you, we're only going to be a few more minutes. Luke chapter 6. Look at verse number 42. Luke chapter 6, verse 42. Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thy own eye, thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt clearly pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. Now look at me. That means this. Judge yourself before you judge somebody else. Before you start judging everybody else based on what you think you see, you better look in the mirror and see that board sticking out of your eyeball. Amen. God says, judge yourself against the word of God, not judge somebody else according to what you think you see. The first thing we ought to do is judge ourselves. I mentioned this Wednesday night. I got a letter from somebody out of the blue the other day, from somebody I never expected to get a letter from. It shocked me. Part of me wondered the motive. That was my flesh. I looked in the mirror and said, maybe that person's trying to fix themselves, and I need to give them a clear route to be able to do so. So I put a kind note back in the mail for them. And I quit worrying about what the motive was and just accepted what came. I had to judge myself. I had to look at myself and say, hey, stupid, how many of these have you written in your life? Yes, sir. Judge yourself before you start judging other people. Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Amen, preacher. This is good. Yeah. Matthew chapter 22, look at verse number 38. Let's go back to verse 36. Master, Matthew chapter 22, verse number 36. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus saith unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the what? First and great commandment. Guess that's a priority, huh? And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. In other words, the first and great commandment is thou shalt love the Lord thy God. I promise you this, if you're loving God like you should, the Bible says the second is like unto it. It's parallel to it that you'll love your neighbor as yourself. If you'll love God as you should, you'll love others the way you should. When you have a struggle in a love relationship, whether it be husband-wife, parent-child, child-to-parent, friend-to-friend, pastor-to-church member, vice versa, I'll promise you, any love relationship that's strained, one of the people involved isn't loving God like they should. I have never counseled a love relationship that's strained where both people were right with God, ever. Never. So, we ought to concern ourselves with loving God, not being loved. God says one of the priorities is loving, not worrying about being loved, but loving. Lastly, let me finish with this one. Mark chapter 13. I gotta hurry. Mark chapter 13. There's so much more I want to say. Mark chapter 13. If you noticed, I'm not talking about what's priority in your life. I'm showing you what God says and how to set your priorities. Mark chapter 13, look at verse number 10. I guess it'd help if I'm on the right verse. And the gospel must first be published among all nations. God said getting the gospel out is a priority. At everything we do, we ought to be getting the gospel out. 100 to 1, I'd rather have you getting the gospel out every day of your life. And some of you take gospel tracts and put them in your bills, your Christmas cards, and you leave them at the gas stations. It's pretty funny. The other day I went and filled up at Sheets down here. I pulled up and I saw one of our gospel tracts at the very pump I pulled up to. And there was a guy on the other side. And there was a gospel tract on the other side, and he could see me. He pulls his tract out and he looks at it. He looks at me, he looks at that, he said, "Are you?" I said, "I am." I said, "But I didn't put it there, you saw me pull up." He said, "I know, that's kind of weird." I said, "You ought to be on this side of it." I said, "One of my folks was here." Can I tell you something? I was proud of whoever did that. I don't know who did it, but thank you. But it is kind of freaky when you go somewhere and you see your own picture sitting on the gas pump, you know? In other words, we ought to preach the gospel first. It is a priority. You've heard me say, yes, we're having preaching on Christmas. We're not just having music. Say, why? Music isn't the priority. Preaching is the priority. God wants people to get saved. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Can I tell you something? They're not going to get saved because of a pretty song. They're going to get saved because a gospel preacher gets up and preaches the Hades out of them. Matter of fact, Revelation 2:4 talks about the church that says it left thy first love. What was that? Winning souls. I've got to quit. I'm over. I'm commanded to be a husband and love my wife. As a dad, I want to love my children. As a grandpa, I'd like to love my grandchildren. As a pastor, I want to love my church folks. As a friend, I want to be a friend to my friends. But every day, I must list my duties in order from most important to least. I do them one at a time. And I don't discuss in the next slot what didn't get done in the slot before and take up my time in this slot with what didn't get done. I live life by file folder after file folder after file folder. My life is lived almost like a file cabinet full of files. And at this time, I pull this file out, put the other one away, and I work on this one. When the next duty comes, I fold it up, I put it away, and I get the next folder, and I start working on that one. And I don't think about what I just put away, and I don't think about 3 folders ago what needed done and what I didn't get done. I'll deal with that next time I deal with that folder. This one thing I do. I don't talk work when I'm with my wife. I don't tell my wife all the things that I counsel. She doesn't know your problems. You can ask her. She'll tell you, I'm the last person to find out something happened. Say why? She's my wife. She's not the person I go to tell everybody all the bad things that happen. Why would I want to discourage the encourager? That's why I think it's kind of silly for folks to talk too much about work at home. Leave work at work. There's one thing I do. Most emergencies are not emergencies. A dear friend of mine used to say this, if it's an emergency today, it'll be an emergency tomorrow. Most of you live life like your hair's on fire because everything in life's an emergency because you don't get anything done. Non-important things are the things that are going to scream loudest for your time. I have found the most important things in life don't holler for my time. You know, God doesn't clamor for my time. That stupid thing does. You know that the most important things don't yak for your time. Your kids will ask you for it, but they're not going to press you too much. They'll just go find something else to do and be hurt. Your wife may not press you for it very often. She'll just do her thing and be hurt because you didn't make her a priority. Priorities don't clamor for your time. It's the little things that clamor for your time. Do one priority at a time. You can't have 100. You can only have one priority at a time. This one thing I do. I just showed you what God had to say about our priorities. Let me ask you a question. How are you doing with your priorities in life? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I didn't tell you what your priority list is. I can't. Each one would be individual and it's going to change day by day. But I've taught you how to decide what is priority. Oh, I know we got a lot going, but what's the most important thing? And then what's the second most important thing? And I've showed you what God said were important things for us to do as Christians.